Welcome to the Ambulatory Healthcare Today podcast, hosted by the NextGen Advisors. Accelerate your success with insights from a multidisciplinary team of healthcare experts as they discuss an array of topics. These timely discussions can help you better navigate the challenges of running your ambulatory care practice. Here is your host.
Good morning and welcome to a new episode of Ambulatory Healthcare Today podcast. I'm Dr. Roy Gill. I'm the Vice President of Clinical Affairs and Patient Safety here at NextGen Healthcare. Today, we're going to chat about data, specifically how to capture the right data and how to leverage that data in ways that really benefit your practice and your patients. So my guest for today is Dr. Danny Dominguez-Perez. He's NextGen's Vice President of Clinical Analytics and Population Health. Danny, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dr. Roy, thank you very much for having me here. It's a pleasure to be here. And then before I say anything, I want to let the audience know a huge shout out of 15 years that you've been here with us. We highly appreciate your leadership, your friendship, and especially in my case, I remember when I came from the population health team over to the office of the CMO, how much you helped me get on board and understand everything. So thank you.
You know, it's been a great 15 years here at NextGen. I've been in this industry really since the 90s, and the rate of change has really always been impressive. Now with all of the things that we're doing with data and analytics, and now that AI is coming along, there's the biggest concentration of change that I've seen, and the biggest opportunity, and some of maybe the biggest risks that are coming along as well. So it's been great, and I look forward to continuing all of my time here at NextGen. Well, Danny, you're our in-house expert on clinical analytics, and I wanted to get your thoughts on data in healthcare. In today's world, there's so much information at our fingertips. Do you think there's such a thing as too much data?
Well, that is a simple answer. I mean, yes, but not only we have a lot of data in healthcare, that was probably the biggest problem for many years. Today, we also have too many insights. And what I mean by that is at any given moment when a provider or a care team is either preparing for an encounter or with the patient in front of them, there is a lot of things that are actually built insights from a gap in care to a risk assessment to something that is missing to a clinical decision support that they need to pay attention to. So both the wealth of data and the amount of insights is just too big to control. That big question begs an answer that is not actually related to data to start the conversation. And in my experience in healthcare, particularly in the many years that I spent as head of quality and in population health, it comes to how strategic you are in approaching what you do for your organization before even considering the data, the insights of the tools. And then you'll be amazed how not frequent organizations actually look at that. And let me give you some ideas to actually accompany this question of there is so much data and what do we do with it? It's what I called the assessment of who you are, in what, let's say, step in your evolution as a healthcare organization you are. And then you bring to that equation a couple of things. You need the context or of the organization you're in, as well as the level of sophistication when it comes to really understand what do I do with data. And then sophistication means two things maybe in this context. It means one, technical sophistication, which is, you know, you have a very strong IT department. Do you have your data in the cloud? Are you, you know, in the latest and greatest of the software? And then do you have the resources to support that? But it also comes to organizational sophistication, which is how good are you at adopting new workflows, at actually training the team, at documenting that? So that is step number one before you even consider how you look at data. The other one aspect here is if you go out there and you talk to a lot of clients, they'll tell you quite a bit. I have a lot of challenges. I have a lot of things that I need to do with the data. But when you ask, what are some of these challenges? They'll mention 2, 3, 4. Like really few of them are capable of articulating what is the long list for the challenges. So there is no even room for you to say, what are my top priorities? I mean, do I have listed out all the 20 challenges that I have with data today in order to maybe add some intelligence to it and put the big ones to the top? And there are some tools. There are some tools that actually clients can use to do that, or in general healthcare. And then the final one that you encounter when you approach the issue with a lot of data is alignment, because you have then the clinical team actually running after something. And then you have, let's say, the chief medical officer, the chief financial officer, and the CEO looking at something else. Is that alignment across that only when all of these things are put together, you are able to recognize, yes, there is a lot of data, but then second, there is something I can do because I have a sense of direction and there is agreement across my organization.
You know, those are really good points. And it reminds me that, you know, here we have clients that are really kind of across the spectrum with how large they are and how much knowledge and sophistication they have regarding what data is there and how to look at it and really understanding even what they need. Small practices where the only employees are people that are always working full-time in patient care. They don't even have time to think about this kind of approach to other places that might have other people working at the organization, but they still don't have, you know, great data analytics backgrounds or even really understand where to concentrate their efforts. I mean, the analytics minded among us might think all this data is beautiful, but it's really meaningless unless we can accomplish something for the good of our patients, for the good of the practice and all of the surrounds about it. And understanding how to do that is really something that's difficult to do. It reminds me of a marketing campaign we have here called Turn Down the Noise. The idea was to convey to providers and healthcare administrators that they're already drowning in information. They're begging for a way to filter the things out that don't matter so they can focus on the things that matter the most. And sometimes they can't even tell what matters the most. They're listening to so many inputs, all of whom want their attention and their time. So let's talk about some practical steps. How does a healthcare organization assess the data it needs and the data that it's producing and which insights it's actually looking for that are going to help?
Right. That is such a good point. And it's something that in healthcare today represents the main challenge. You will see throughout the conversation this one theme that we're going to be answering data questions without talking about data, as you need to look at all these issues at the strategic level. So you intentionally look for the solution in the data. I always like to do this experiment where I always say, if you had a magic wand and every single gap in care, every single piece of analytics that, by the way, the one patient in front of you currently has, and you look at that, let's say, point of care tool of choice in your organization, and then the red represents all the gaps in care, you could see a number there, anything between 50 to 60, 45. How much of that you can do? The care team will be paralyzed, and the provider probably will run from that computer, not wanting to see the patient. So there needs to be, eventually, I'm sure there will be these signs of analytics of the analytics in order to prioritize what you can cover and what you can do at any given point. So it comes back to that initial conversation statement of strategic alignment. So who you are, how many things do we have, what's the total number of all the challenges when it comes to analytics that we have here? Three, do we have a good framework, an objective framework to prioritize every single item so we can put to the very top the 3 to 5, which is by the way, a good number and a good thing to keep in mind. You only can take so much, and deciding on what is the top and only working on that will do a couple of things. You will get something done, and then the team will learn how to do two important things that I need to talk about. One is creating or adhering to good workflows and documenting and training all of that, which is as important or more important than having access to the data. That was every single time the issue. So once you have your top priorities based on a very objective framework of decision, you've classified, designed your workflows, and you've trained your team, only then you are ready to talk about data, to choose what tool to use, what insights, and how to. That's the simplest way in which I can put it, that we can actually tone down the noise.
Yeah, those are really great points. I love that magic wand, by the way. Let me know where I can get it. But that all trickles down as a family doctor and dealing on that patient side of this is a lot as well. When you think about a lot of those programs that you're discussing, the way it trickles down there in the exam room with the patient is even when we apply only the basics, like the United States Preventive Task Force list of recommendations for health maintenance. You can look at a patient, say a middle-aged patient, and they might have 15 things that they're due for. Again, they're important. You can make the case that they're all important, but how do you prioritize that? I can't do them all. The visit will take 2 hours, and the staff will be doing so many things that, and those programs really have to come together. We need the trainings, not just the physician, but all the staff, and making sure everybody's on the same page. So I think, and then that comes full circle right back to the big data part of it. And then you can look at other programs. So if you're like a federally qualified healthcare center, an FQHC, and you have to do UDS reporting, that's quality reporting to the government, or you're part of an accountable care organization that has their own set of criteria for quality of care or whatever other metrics they're looking for, you've got all kinds of different requirements to follow. So what other considerations are there with that information?
You don't know how much I appreciate mentioning FQACs. That's how I started my career in healthcare quality and IT in the United States. Actually, a fairly qualified health center in upstate New York. And yes, most organizations today have very complex compliance when it comes to all the things that they need to pay attention to. And just to give you an idea, let's say any not very complex, fairly qualified health center could have a really good amount of things that they need to pay attention to. Let's briefly review some of them. Let's say you're a fairly qualified health center, so you need to report data to HRSA every single year. And that is all 9 tables, 3 forms, all the quality metrics, all of that. Now there is an added complexity to that reporting, which is UDS Plus, that you have to submit, patient level information. And then there is the whole FHIR format that adds more complexity. And then you have to be compliant with that. You can add a little bit more and say, how about if you are an FQHC with behavioral health, which is a very common thing that is happening today, they're merging together, which makes all the sense in the world. Let's say also you have substance abuse, you're part of an ACO, and just to say it, you're part of an organization that reports to MIPS and then reports MIPS and MACRA to CMS. Right there, if you add the local things that you need to do that make sense for the clinician, because that is standard reporting, but you need things to run your daily operations, or what is the one-off grant that this payer is offering, or what is, the reporting based on, the incentive, based on reporting that you're looking to the local payer. The list is just huge. Where do I start? Here is a classic example of putting all of that and then some granularity under each one of these things that you have to cover, but you have to see that you be amazed how often these organizations don't do that kind of exercise. I was part of that, and then I just asked, just give me a list. Just go to town, and list out in a huge whiteboard every single thing that you need to do. Because nobody has the ability to do that or know that exactly. Because only then you can actually say, okay, let's define the next step. Some criteria to prioritize. And I'll give you simple ones. It doesn't need to be complex. One, what is the most consequential? Am I an FQAC? UDS needs to be in proper order. That needs to be there, for example. Other one could be, what is the easiest one to tackle? Because you need to make sure that you train your current team to do the work. You document that workflow, particularly these centers with the high turnover on staff, which affects them a lot. It's a difficult population. Over 60% of their population is Medicaid. Then three, you say, what is common to many of these things? And only with three simple criteria, you do some grading to each one of them. You put that on a very basic table in Excel, and then you sort by the higher score. Right there, you have an objective way of deciding, what do I need to pay attention to? Then now, you get a very important part. I need alignment. I need the chief medical officer, the practice manager, and the CEO to recognize that this is the only practical way to get out of this complexity and thing that is driving crazy everybody. And then once that happens, you get one at a time, and then you go out to the market and say, okay, now I can think of, okay, next gen population health management. Is that going to solve a lot of these problems? I can go to the other one that we're offering right now, let's say enterprise data cloud with its really tailored solutions to your problems. What part of it do you need? But you come to the market to look for a solution prepared and with a very intentional mindset. That's how I think most of these health centers should approach these issues.
Those are your really good practical suggestions, especially if you're kind of at the beginning of the process to figure out what your priorities are. And you raise a really good point about needing to make sure that kind of everybody's trained and on board and understanding that everybody's not starting at a high level. They might be starting from a very beginner level of understanding how to improve, well, for how to analyze for and improve quality. So just instilling that kind of mindset among the staff in an office really helps to kind of train, get the muscles exercised as to how to do these quality improvement programs. And then people can start to expand from there and say, oh yeah, and then, you know, we're going to go look at the complete compendium of UDS and whatever our ACO is looking for and things like that. So really great practical suggestions and kind of a way to filter out that big noise of data into looking at just what I need to accomplish these few tasks. But it's also worth noting, you know, burnout rates are so high across the industry, and the last thing providers need is another task. Like, they're already doing so much. As a doctor, I can kind of stumble through the process. I can make guesses as to where to focus my energies, or I can partner with an organization that knows this inside out. So either, you know, even if you're at the beginning or middle of that process, it really helps to have some handholding along the way and some guidance along the way. And that's really where NextGen comes in, I think.
That's correct. And now that you mentioned provider burnout, that really resonated with me as before coming to the U.S., I practiced medicine in some other countries. I think the first time I was exposed to electronic medical records was in Africa in 2008. It wasn't nearly as complex as it is in the U.S., but I already saw the challenges to just be compliant with the many things that you need to do in there so the output makes sense. So when I came to the United States, I was presented to the first complex EMR, and then I quickly understood why the 50-something percent burnout rate in this country. The amount of clicks all that you had to do for meaningful use, because there was a huge investment. So we have to really make sense out of this, plus everything else that I had to do. At the same time, I need to take care of the patient. The patient wants me to look him at the face or her at the face. And the EMR, the many clicks and the whole thing, all the requirements was in the middle of that so noble goal. And yes, there are multiple teams and action that can help with that handholding to walk you through an analysis of what's going on in my organization, an assessment of the totality of every single thing that we need to do. And examples are, there is a group of consultants from the Population Health Management Group. There is people with a wealth of knowledge in the office of the CMO that they can reach out to and then help them get not only an idea of the data, but also how to you can leverage the multiple solutions that we have at NextGen in order to do that. That would be step number one. Then two is providers are doing work that is not for the provider to do. So every single tool or every single piece of analytic, it's to allow your care team to work at the top of their license. Everything they can do before the patient makes it to your door. Every piece of, let's say, morning huddle, privacy planning, you know, rooming the patient, the screenings that actually members of the care team can do for you and all that. So when the patient is in front of you, you do what doctors need to do, assess the medication, see the orders, see the results. Do you need a referral? As long as all of that is organized and prioritized for you in front of you, that is when data will do the best for what you're doing. One other thing is that in the history of insights and analytics, we never paid much attention to too much information, as you said, like turning down the noise. Even good insights, when there are too many, it's too much. And sometimes you have to present the insights and the piece of analytics depending on who you are as a persona. Do not show trending charts to the care team. They care about the patient's coming. What do I need to do? 1, 2, 3, 4. The chief medical officer is asking for how the providers compare to each other. Just get the same information and aggregate that at a different level. And just when you log in, do that based on the persona that is doing it, so you can navigate depending on what's your role and what's expected of you. And right now, this is a serious approach we're taking in the enterprise data warehouse and in the insights as a service that we're creating, that when we create a dashboard, it has this component of this view is for higher management. They go there, they see trending, that they decide based on that information what's a strategy. And or what we're doing or the initiative that took place 3 months ago, it's actually being fruitful, it's bringing results or not. The same area, then you have analytics that is simply oriented to the care team from the front desk all the way to who's rooming the patient, all the way to who's calling, you know, for the referral. They need that piece of information. And I think that platform is providing the flexibility to just create that. So you have everything in one hub, but you only look at what pertains to what you're doing. And right there, enabling the care team to work at the top of their license and then accommodating the insights so you see what you need to see and nothing else is an important part of the solution.
That's really amazing. I mean, you think about, even though people are concentrating on the same general measures, programs, quality initiatives, whatever it is, that we work together, but we also each have our own slice of that pie 100%. That we need to concentrate on. So we can filter that information based on only what the person needs to know and see at the time, at the point of care. And then there's other times to look across the spectrum to see, you know, how things are going otherwise. But when you look at burnout, when you look at the effectiveness of the care and the time that we're allotted, it's really the best to hone in on those specific areas. And for our listeners in the FQHC space, you'll be excited to learn that NextGen is really at the forefront of helping clients achieve the UDS Plus reporting requirements. I know, Danny, a lot of meetings we're on, I'm always hearing about this UDS Plus. It sounds like you're making great strides into it. It's really, really been challenging, and we'll have a lot more to share about that topic soon. So, Danny, I really enjoyed the conversation, and I really appreciate all your insights and really great and practical ideas of ways people can use the data and also ways that NextGen can help. And you've really given us like the best kind of information, the actionable kind.
My pleasure. I really enjoy these kinds of conversations, so it's no struggle at all. Thank you very much.
Thanks. And to the listeners, I really appreciate you making time to listen to the Ambulatory Healthcare Today podcast. To learn more about how meaningful data can supercharge healthcare delivery, visit nextgen.com. If you're not already a subscriber to Ambulatory Healthcare Today, please follow along so you won't miss our next conversation.
Thanks for listening to the Ambulatory Healthcare Today podcast, hosted by the NextGen Advisors. Never miss an episode by subscribing at nextgen.com/podcast. To see a list of products and services tailored for ambulatory care practices, visit nextgen.com.